Hare Krishna, dear devotees, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Today we will speak from Bhagavad Gita as it is, from chapter 2, contents of the Gita summarized, text 8. So let's try and sing it together. Nahi prapashyami mama panudya yat shokam uchoshanam indriyanam avapya bhuma vasapatnam ridham rajam suranam apichadipatyam. Word for word translation. Na, do not. He, certainly. Prapashyami, I see. Mama, my. Apanudyat, can drive away. Yat, that which. Shokam, lamentation. Uchoshanam, drying up. Indriyanam, of the senses. Avapya, achieving. Bhumo, on the earth. Asapatnam, without rival. Ridham, prosperous. Rajam, kingdom. Suranam, of the demigods. Api, even. Cha, also. Adipatyam, supremacy. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Yeah. Arjuna is speaking. I can find no means to drive away this grief which is drying up my senses. I will not be able to dispel it even if I win a prosperous, unrivaled kingdom on earth with sovereignty like the demigods in heaven. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Although Arjuna was putting forward so many arguments based on knowledge of the principles of religion and moral codes, it appears that he was unable to solve his real problem without the help of the spiritual master, Lord Sri Krishna. He could understand that his so-called knowledge was useless in driving away his problems, which were drying up his whole existence, and it was impossible for him to solve such perplexities without the help of a spiritual master like Lord Krishna. Academic knowledge, scholarship, high position, etc. are all useless in solving the problems of life. Help can be given only by a spiritual master like Krishna. Therefore, the conclusion is that a spiritual master who is 100% Krishna conscious is the bona fide spiritual master, for he can solve the problems of life. Lord Chaitanya said that one who is a master in the science of Krishna consciousness, regardless of his social position, is the real spiritual master. Kiba vipra kiba nyasi shudra kenenai, yei Krishna tatva veta sei guru hoi. It doesn't matter whether a person is a vipra, learned scholar in Vedic wisdom, or is born in a lower family, or is in a renounced order of life. If he is master in the science of Krishna, he is perfect and bona fide spiritual master. That's for Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 8, verse 128. So without being a master in the science of Krishna consciousness, no one is a bona fide spiritual master. It is also said in Vedic literature, Satkarma nipuna vipra mantra tantra visharadaha avaishnava gurur nasyat vaishnava svapacho guru. A scholarly brahmana, expert in all subjects of Vedic knowledge, is unfit to become a spiritual master without being a Vaishnava or expert in the science of Krishna consciousness. But a person born in a family of a lower caste can become a spiritual master if he is a Vaishnava or Krishna conscious. That's from Padma Purana. The problems of material existence, birth, old age, disease and death cannot be counteracted by accumulation of wealth and economic development. In many parts of the world, there are states which are replete with all facilities of life, which are full of wealth and economically developed, yet the problems of material existence are still present. They are seeking peace in different ways, but they can achieve real happiness only if they consult Krishna or the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, which constitute the science of Krishna, through the bona fide representative of Krishna, the man in Krishna consciousness. If economic development and material comforts could drive away one's lamentation for family, social, national and or international inebrieties, then Arjuna would not have said that even an unrivaled kingdom on earth or supremacy like that of the demigods in the heavenly planets would be unable to drive away his lamentations. He sought, therefore, refuge in Krishna consciousness, and that is the right path for peace and harmony. Economic development or supremacy over the world can be finished at any moment by the cataclysms of material nature. Even elevation into a higher planetary situation, as men are now seeking on the moon planet, can also be finished at one stroke. The Bhagavad Gita confirms this. Kshine punye martya lokam vishanti. When the results of pious activities are finished, one falls down again from the peak of happiness to the lowest status of life. Many politicians of the world have fallen down in that way. Such downfalls only constitute more causes for lamentation. Therefore, if we want to curb lamentation for good, then we have to take shelter of Krishna, as Arjuna is seeking to do. So Arjuna asks Krishna to solve his problems definitely, and that is the way of Krishna consciousness. I can find no means to drive away this grief which is drying up my senses. I will not be able to dispel it, even if I win a prosperous, unrivaled kingdom on earth with sovereignty like that, like the demigods in heaven. Hare Krishna. It's quite a verse and quite a lengthy purport as well. There's lots of points to be discussed. We don't have too much time, but we'll just go through purport and discuss a few things. So, first of all, this is the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and in that chapter, Krishna is going to summarize basically the whole Bhagavad Gita for Arjuna, for us. He's going to give all the instructions in a nutshell, basically. And here, in the previous verse, which I guess the class was yesterday, that Arjuna is actually accepting Krishna at this stage as a spiritual master. So in the whole topic of basically most of the purport is talking about the acceptance, the importance of an acceptance of a bona fide spiritual master. So Prabhupada is explaining that Arjuna, in the previous verse, he's telling Krishna that, you know, it's I'm not trying to be with you on an equal level anymore. I'm surrendering to you, and please give me instruction of what to do. Because Arjuna, as we heard in a purport at this stage, is, and in a verse also, Arjuna says that this grief is drying up his senses. That he's so bewildered and is lamenting in this particular situation. Shoka, lamentation. That he's not able to do anything, basically. He's just completely incapable of fighting at this stage, even though it's his dharma. Arjuna is a great kshatriya, he's a great warrior. He was born to do this. It's very hard in Kali Yuga to know what we're born to do, because it's such a difficult topic. We're trying to discuss Varnashrama Dharma, and that's a big part of it, is to figure out, you know, what each person is supposed to do. But for Arjuna, there was no question. It was from childhood. He was raised as a kshatriya. He was a great bowman. He's the mightiest bowman, the disciple of Dronacharya, who actually promised and vowed that he's going to be the best out of all, and he's the best student of his spiritual master, of his military martial arts master, Dronacharya. So he's not just a random soldier on the battlefield. And so he is faced with this situation where he has to actually fight his whole family, basically. It's the people that he loves, the people that he respects, the people he pays his obeisance to. So the culture is so great that I was listening to Radhanath Maharaj on this class, and he's saying that in India, people say usually namaskaram. They don't usually know what it means these days, but it means I offer my obeisances unto you, so I bow down to you. That's what it means, namaskaram. So, but they still do it. And then he says, in the West we say hello, and hello, he says, it's like hell, oh hell. He's playing with the words like that. So the culture is definitely there, and it's an incredible, very strong culture. So for Arjuna to fight Bhishma Dev or Dronacharya or even not Duryodhana, he would like to fight, I guess. There's no question in that. But you know, some other Kripacharya. And some other relatives. So he's very bewildered. And Prabhupada in one of the lectures also says that that this is the position of material existence, basically. He's saying that we're sometimes in difficulty, but actually we think that we're sometimes in difficulty. He explains that we're actually always in a difficulty. In Bhagavad Gita, in one of the purports, I don't remember where exactly, Prabhupada makes this point where he says that we say that some things are inauspicious and some things are auspicious, but actually in the material world everything is inauspicious. No question of anything auspicious whatsoever. Except of course for Krishna consciousness and devotional service, because then we're transforming the material energy into spiritual energy, we're spiritualizing it. Because ultimately we know that there is nothing but Krishna, because everything comes from Krishna. So there technically nothing can exist apart from Krishna, except for Krishna. It's only our consciousness, our desire to enjoy separately from Krishna, that actually is material consciousness. Otherwise everything is actually spiritual. Every atom of this world, everything is part and parcel of Krishna. So everything is Krishna. Krishna. So, and Prabhupada is explaining that because we're sometimes in a difficulty, we make some attempt. And he explains that the reason why we're always in difficulty is that because we make some attempt to eliminate some difficulty, we create more difficulties by that attempt. So, by trying to stop the miseries, we create more miseries, which is really interesting. So we're always thinking that yes, in the future I will be happy, in the future I will be successful. And he's also saying that the scientists are dreaming that in future we shall become without death, that there is so it says that they're just dreaming. And then he says that those who are sane, quote unquote, trust no future however pleasant. So don't, you know, trust the future, don't trust the basically empty promises and so forth. In regarding to death also, this chapter, especially at the beginning now, when Krishna is going to start speaking, he's actually going to basically give the whole description of the soul and how the soul is immortal and there is never death for the soul, and that, you know, the soul cannot kill and cannot be killed either. It cannot be dried, it cannot be burned or withered or moistened or anything. So the soul is immortal. And so one devotee in Vrindavan, I remember, was given a class and he was saying how actually there is no death. There is no such thing as death. It's just something that basically people are afraid of because they don't believe in or they don't have information about the eternality of the soul. Saying is just like you're going to sleep. When you're going to sleep, basically you're doing something else in your dream. You completely forget about your current body. You're not even aware that it exists. And you do completely something else. You have other relationships, you have other duties, you have some other problems, you have something completely different. You know, and then somehow you wake up in the morning and think, oh my God, I gotta go for Mangalarti. You know, which is really ecstatic, you know. Usually the dreams are not that pleasant, so I mean, I speak for myself. Most of the time, sometimes they are, by the mercy, they are Krishna conscious, but usually they are not so Krishna conscious. So when I wake up, I think, yes, Mangala Arati time, ki jai. So nice. And be with the devotees again. And then Prabhupada, in the lecture, there's a few notes that I made from the lecture, so I'll just talk about that. So he says that Arjuna is saying that now I'm becoming your disciple. And Krishna may ask him, why have you come to me? And Arjuna is fixed in his resolution in the sense that he knows that no one else can save him. So a lot of times we're put into difficulties. And they seem so insurmountable for us. But Krishna has a plan, and Krishna knows how to make that situation in such a way that it will be beneficial for you if you are ready to accept it in that way. So basically the ultimate point here is that where do we take shelter? Where do we go for shelter when we're in difficulty? I recently had some serious problems, and I had to take, I could have taken shelter in so many different places. And taking shelter means, where is your mind at? What's your state of consciousness? What do you do when everything around you just like falls apart? Where do you go? Do you just like call your mom, or do you start reading newspapers or watch TV, or try and play chess with someone just to get away from those problems? You're trying to do something because the problem is there. You can't do anything about it. It's going to be there anyway. It's just there in front of you. So you have to take shelter somewhere, and usually people, they drown themselves in alcohol or drugs, or they go do some other illicit activities, or plain watch TV, play chess, or go to your friends and talk about news and politics and President Obama, Mr. Donald Trump these days. But anyway, so I had personal experience that when I would be so overwhelmed, I couldn't like sleep or even chant sometimes. It was so difficult. I had Bhagavad Gita actually with me. So I would read Bhagavad Gita and I would feel ecstasy. I felt so incredible that I'm connected with this. I know something of it. I've been given this amazing mercy, amazing, opportunity. And in a way, I know that, this is all temporary. This is all going to pass one way or the other. And I didn't feel so much anxiety anymore, and I felt free. Of course, I had to do it regularly. That's why it says Nityam Bhagavata Seva. We have to do it regularly, constantly. So as much as we basically can, because our machine is not working that well in Kali Yuga, that we really keep forgetting. We just go out and bombarded by so many different issues, problems, advertisements, so many different associations, unwanted associations. So somehow or other, we always have to come back. So that's where we take shelter. That's what it means. Where do you take shelter? So Arjuna at this stage, he's understanding that he can't deal with this personally. He understands that he's completely overwhelmed by this situation. He can't even make the right decision at this point. And he's obviously giving many arguments to Arjuna that, I can't do this because of this or because of that. And Krishna is going to basically smash him in the end, saying that, no, you have to surrender unto me. You have to do what I say. It doesn't matter, what are the rules and regulations and so forth. You have to do what I say. So you have to forget about all those different things. So unusually people, of course, they are taking shelter in sense enjoyment, and nobody can become happy when they're enjoying their senses. And Prabhupada is explaining the reason why people cannot become happy when they're enjoying their senses is because their senses, this material senses, they're not real senses. They're just temporary material senses that are given to us for some time. And he explains that our real senses are spiritual senses, and we have to awaken them, which is the awakening basically through Krishna consciousness, to reinstate our spiritual consciousness. And so then he explained that by spiritual senses we can enjoy. Now he's explaining what are, he's giving some explanation of what are those spiritual senses. He says that just like in this material body, we're wearing some clothes, and usually like the clothes will have sleeves or, you know, what do you call it, pants, you know. So they have a form, shape of a material body. So in the same way, he's explaining that the material body is shaped after the spiritual body. So the spiritual body also have his legs and arms and so forth and eyes. So we just need to, in this Krishna, through Krishna consciousness, we need to purify our consciousness and basically get rid of the material garments. The soul is wearing material garments which are, quote, cut according to the body. Yes, so Prabhupada is further explaining that nobody can satisfy, he's quoting Arjuna saying that nobody actually can satisfy him in this perplexed condition, that his senses are being dried up. Because these are superficial senses which are not actually real senses. And Prabhupada is saying that the real senses are within. And he's quoting that verse, Hrishikesha Sevanam. So we have to serve Krishna, because Krishna is real and we have come to that position of reality. We can come to that position of serving Krishna, which is reality. And we know that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. So it's like an example can be given, you know, if someone in this world has a very rich father, you know, and that rich father is going to obviously, you know, give so many pleasures through his wealth to his children. You know, so devotees are very fortunate because we have the richest father, we have the most opulent father, who can give to us everything that basically we need. Krishna doesn't give us more than we need and than we can handle. Like we were talking to Ananta Prabhu the other day, and he was saying that we have these plans and different things that we will do, but we're not ready yet to, you know, accept all those people that are out there. You know, we're not ready to host all the different, you know, aristocratic people, maybe, you know, and some different people. We're just not ready. So Krishna will give us those people. Krishna will bring those people. He will inspire them through the Paramatma to come whenever we're ready. So we just have to do our duty, basically, and then Krishna will send accordingly the amount of people or the souls that we can actually deal with and actually be helpful to them. So, and also another example is one devotee told me it was really funny how Krishna is playing tennis with us. It's really funny. He says that Krishna has everything, right? Krishna, it's not like for Krishna giving you, say, $1 million is like really, you know, he's like thinking, oh my God, $1 million? I'll just have a look, you know, how much I have maybe. You know, he has unlimited, you know, he can give you whatever, basically. So, he's looking at the devotee and he's saying, okay, you know, here is like, you know, $1,000 or something, whatever, I mean, something, you know, and it's like a tennis ball, and so he's playing with it. But we don't play back, we just say, oh, $1,000, put it in, right? And then Krishna, after some time, he says, okay, well, let's try again, you know, he takes another ball, he goes, ding, you know, and we go, oh, wow, amazing, so we keep putting inside like that. And so, until, of course, we start playing with Krishna. So when we start playing with Krishna, you know, Krishna gives us 1,000, we go, oh wow, bam, back, you know, Krishna goes, okay, 1,000,000, you know, like that. Of course, this is, it can happen. We know it can happen. Maybe practically it's not really happening at this stage for one reason or the other. Krishna knows what we need at a particular time. But the example is there that we need to play with Krishna. That Krishna gives us, it can be whatever, it doesn't have to be money, it can be like opulence in the sense of knowledge. You know, Krishna can give you some realizations, you know, but you're going to keep them to yourself. Ah, my realizations, I'm going to keep them to myself. You know, it's usually said that we should be sharing realizations, we'll be sharing with devotees, we should be discussing various topics and so forth. So, whatever it is, you know, lots of prasadam. You know, what are you going to do? Put it all in the fridge or, you know, distribute to everybody else? So there's so many practical examples of this. It doesn't have to be money only. So we just have to play with Krishna. And Krishna is going to keep giving. We have to have faith that Krishna is going to keep giving one way or the other. So there's not much time left, so I'll just speak a little bit about the acceptance of spiritual master. So here Prabhupada in the purport saying that the spiritual master is one who knows the Krishna tattva, basically. He knows the science of Krishna. He knows what Krishna consciousness is about. He knows how to bring his disciple to Krishna consciousness. And it's described that one has to surrender, like Arjuna, to Krishna, to the spiritual master. And so, in that way, by serving the spiritual master, there is this transaction of heart-to-heart. Bhakti is being transacted from spiritual master to the disciple, because bhakti itself is independent. Krishna cannot give you bhakti. Krishna can make arrangements that you get bhakta who will give you bhakti, to give you opportunity to serve the bhakta who will give you bhakti. And this is really amazing fact, basically. And I've heard recently that, I don't remember what it was, maybe someone remembers, but bhakti is like a youngest wife. And then I don't know who is the oldest wife. They were suggesting that maybe it's sadhana bhakti, but I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure. But bhakti is like the youngest wife, which means that if you... that's the thing, I don't remember what was that oldest wife. But it was like if you deal only with that... I think it was sadhana, I'm not sure. But so they were saying if you only do... like rules and regulations, then bhakti... No, I don't think so. Anyway, so bhakti is like really shy, so you have to approach her in an appropriate mood. So, and I've also heard from the class one devotee was saying that I felt was really nice, that it's not that it's a mechanical process. It's not that we're just someone, sannyasi comes, okay, let's wash his socks, let's wash his dhoti, you know, very nice, cook some prasadam, you know, offer us, so very good. We have to have our hearts open for this bhakti to come in. So it's like cultivating the field, if you want, like Lord Chaitanya is describing, that the guru plants the seed and then we have to water it and so forth. But to get that seed also is... you know, a process that we have to be ready to receive that seed, because we may not actually be ready. Prabhupada is explaining further in his lecture on this class that he's saying that we should not accept guru as a show. It's not a fashion. It's actually serious business, and that one has to be ready for it. And accept, because when the guru says something, disciple should actually try his best and do it. And Prabhupada is also explaining in his class a lot about how there is there are different yagyas that various schools are sort of proposing that one should be doing. And so in our, luckily, in our Sampradaya, we've been given this process of Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nastyeva, 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 Gatira Nidhadadir. Only the chanting of the holy names, chanting of the holy names, chanting of the holy names, and nothing else, nothing else, nothing else, nothing else can save us from this world. He's explaining that actually there is no such a qualified person to perform any other yagya. And from this he's explaining that a guru is a person who actually initiates us into this Harer Nama process, into the chanting of the holy names. And it's just like connecting to the PowerPoint that is connected to the powerhouse. So sometimes I know devotees have been waiting for initiation for 10, 15 years, and then even their gurus that they were aspiring for, they left their bodies. But the main idea of initiation is of Diksha initiation is to connect to the parampara, connect to the powerhouse. And then Shiksha is more important, so then we can take instruction, Shiksha, from other devotees or spiritual masters. So it's not a problem. That will drive away our lamentation. We can see that this Harinam process, whether it's in the temple or outside, or there's just the chanting of the holy names, it actually gets rid of lamentation. Once you're in the Kirtan, your problems just kind of go away. They're just not there anymore. When the Kirtan stops, yes, it's kind of everything comes back. And like Sachinandana Maharaj says usually after, he says, after the retreat, you're going to come home and you will hear, who's there? Maya. You know, so many things. So he said that we should be trying our best to keep this consciousness and should practice as much as we can at homes or in our communities. And then when we have an opportunity, we should make endeavor and go for more retreats and keep energized and more and more and more and more. So that at the time of death, we can actually not only... I was just listening to my Guru Maharaj today. It was really incredible. He was saying that it's not like at the time of death, you're sitting there, okay, I'm dying, so I gotta chant Hare Krishna, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. You know, like, you have to be actually looking forward to it. He's saying that, you know, he's listening to classes, he's listening to pastimes all the time. You know, he's doing his Guru Giriraj Puja, or he's doing... bicycle riding or something like that. And he's listening to different pastimes in those times, you know, either Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes or Ram's pastimes or Sri Krishna's pastimes. And he's saying you look forward to those activities all the time. You look forward to those moments in the day when you're actually going to be absorbed completely in Krishna. When can I hear about Krishna again? So at the time of death, we should have that kind of mentality that, you know, now I'm going to actually see Krishna. You know, I'm going to be with Krishna. You know, this is the proper consciousness that we should be leaving our body. Not that, you know, oh, you know, I'm dying, maybe chanting Hare Krishna, maybe it's going to help me somehow. I mean, it's good. It's better than, you know, saying squawk like a parrot. Right? So, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and go back to Godhead in this long lifetime. Ki! Jai! Hare Hare Bol. Thank you very much. Any questions, comments, corrections, arguments, knock me out. Yes, Prabhu.
Speaking about difficulties,
it wasn't me.
I know you have some realization and you were in some difficulty. It's up to you if you want to share it. Like, you were in the jail. So,
thank you for revealing it to everybody. Joy.
I don't care. You were there.
Yeah. Well, let's put it this way. I mean, ultimately, the process was taken 2 years, the whole process. In those 2 years, I had so many ideas of how the end result is going to be. You know, 2 years, you have a problem, and in 2 years' time, you have all the time you have to figure out what's going to be the outcome. You know, and you're just going to plan it out. Is it going to be like this, or is it going to be like that, or maybe like this, and maybe like that. So for 2 years, I was doing that. I was mentaling out, you know, in my free time. You know, so... And in the end, Krishna did something completely different. You know, it's like, you have 2 years' time to figure out, like, you have all the ingredients, you know, you have all the ingredients of, and, you know, of the situation, of the recipe, you know, you have all the, you know, you have the recipe, you know, and you're trying to combine them in various ways, and, you know, this comes out, or that comes out, or this comes out, or this comes out, and then Krishna makes it completely different in the end, which is really far out. You know, I was thinking, this is incredible. We can't understand how Krishna is going to do something. You know, we don't know why Krishna is doing certain things. And so the best thing is to, when we have difficulties, is to actually understand that I'm a student here and I'm here to learn something. You know, when someone is nasty to us, you know, is it even if we're right, you know, I'm right, Prabhu. You know, like, get this, you know, Prabhupada said this or Prabhupada said that. You know, is that right thing to do? Is that going to help your relationship with that person? You know, is that going to help that person? Or should we be more compassionate and actually try to understand, well, you know, this person is maybe because like this and because like that, he's acting like this. But main thing is, what can I learn from this? You know, what is good, you know, how can I be more Krishna conscious in this situation? Maybe I should pray for that person. Maybe I should work on my own anarthas. You know, why do I see so many negative qualities in that particular person? Maybe those qualities are actually in me. That's why I see them so much. You know, there is no, what is it called? It's not a coincidence that they say that when you point one finger at someone, three are pointing at you. You know, a long time in psychology, I was taught that we can see only those things in other people that are actually in us. So whenever I can see devotees, those who are, you can see, I mean, I don't have to point fingers at anybody and say, you know, who is doing this. But when someone is glorifying someone, you can see those qualities in that person who is glorifying. You know, when someone is actually glorifying someone else, you can see those qualities in that person who is glorifying. Just, you know, see. Or when you're in critical, you know, mindset that you're criticizing someone, think internally. Think maybe it's actually you who has those qualities as well. And Krishna, through that person, maybe that person also has those qualities. No, I mean, we're not Jain, but, you know, we're interested in ourselves. You know, Prabhupada's, our main business is to solve ourselves first and not to create more problems for ourselves. So then, so, you know, we need to first of all think that, do I have those problems? You know, do I also do that sometimes? Do I also neglect other people like that sometimes? Am I also quite greedy and I don't want to give any money to anybody? Or, you know, am I also quite sleepy a lot of times and I'm falling asleep when I'm chanting japa like anything? You know, or, you know, whatever. You know, when I'm there in Mangalarati, am I really there? You know, like a lot of, you know, there's so many things. Am I overeating? You know, am I over prajalping? You know, am I over Facebooking? Am I over anything? You know, so then we work on those things on ourselves. And it's actually amazing how we can, and I really believe that Krishna is showing us all these things all the time through other people. If we're ready to accept those teachings, we can actually make more and more and more progress, because Krishna, every situation we can learn something for ourselves and we can become more Krishna conscious and become better ourselves, which will better eventually the environment, because people will see, oh, this person is not reacting like that. And even if they might not come to you and say, oh Prabhu, I'm sorry, Prabhu, sorry, I offended you so well, you know, they might not do that, but in the end of the day they also have their heart, they have their, you know, thinking processes and so forth, so they might walk away and, you know, think about it and say, well, actually I've been wrong there, and, you know, I have to do like this and I have to do like that. So thank you for yeah. You mean where I took shelter, or? Well, I mean the Prabhupada's books for sure. So that was the main thing. I can talk about it more. I'm online. Where is the camera? Is it live or no? No? Is it? Anyway, so, you know, like, I'm in a cell, you know, I'm sitting in a cell, I'm reading Bhagavad Gita, you know. And I would, like, sometimes I would just jump out of the cell and I was just like, Hare Krishna! And then I would be just, like, looking around, and then I realized where I am, and I think, you know, and people obviously thought I'm completely gone, you know, I'm crazy, you know, and so forth. But a lot of people, you know, came up to me for advices and so forth. You know, it was nice. I did kirtan, you know, people gave me donations, and it was nice. You know, I made bliss balls. You know, every week I would, you know, walk around and distribute all the bliss balls to everyone chanting Hare Krishna, and everyone was really happy, you know, and some people were like really amazed, you know, that such things are actually happening inside, you know. But yeah, so that was my shelter. My shelter was definitely Krishna consciousness. I realized that no lawyers, not even, I mean, devotee friends are great. They can keep you Krishna conscious, obviously. Like His Holiness Jananda Maharaj came and visited me several times. And it was just incredible. I was just like, you know, when people come and visit you, usually it's, you know, wives and, you know, parents and so forth. Everybody going out there, everyone is like really happy, excited, you know, like we're going to meet them. And then when we come back, everyone is like miserable, you know, we're going back. And I was just like, after visit with Jananda Maharaj, for example, you know, I was just like, you know, I was just like completely blissed out, you know. Devotees would come, you know, visit me as well. And sometimes, and I was just like, you know, I mean, they went, and I told one devotee, Shyama Hari Prabhu, you know, Shyama Hari came to visit me, and I said, you know, they want me to be miserable here, but I'm so ecstatic, I can't believe it. You know, it's true, because, you know, my shelter was Krishna consciousness, you know, and I had a lot of time to actually read and, you know, chant and so forth. Of course, a lot of times I was mentaling out and lamenting, you know, and I should have done like this, and I should have done like that, and, you know, I realized all my faults, and maybe accepted more faults than I actually did. But anyway, it doesn't matter. In the end of the day, I was actually not blaming the other person. I was completely like really praying for the other person. I was praying for the people involved. I was trying to understand how and why these things are. And I was trying to understand what is Krishna teaching me, what sort of qualities He wants me to develop in that situation. So I was really working hard. And Prabhupada was giving so many answers in the scriptures. And yeah, it was just ecstatic time really in a lot of sense. It was, yeah, I mean like, But the only problem in that is that when I came out, I also had a confirmation from Shastra. When Lord Chaitanya was asking Ramananda Roy, you know, he was asking him so many questions, and he asked him what is the most miserable thing in this world, and Ramananda Roy replied, anyone knows?
No association, no.
Correct. So no devotees around. So that's the only misery that was there. And no, I mean, when there's no association of devotees, there is no like kirtan, you know. I mean, I did, you know, by myself, but it's nice when you're with devotees. I'm very grateful to Krishna for giving me this situation and this opportunity to grow. But the main thing is that it's not about me, it's about any one of us. It's just that we have difficult situations in life, small or big, it doesn't matter. In the end of the day, it's where do we turn? Do we turn outside of the world and we become aggressive like a dog, you know, and we just like bark at everybody and try to vent our anger or whatever? Or we're actually trying to go inside, try to understand why, you know, this is happening to us. And obviously the best thing to try and understand, we need some tools to understand it. It's not that we can just speculate. You know, it's the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, the spiritual masters, you know, senior devotees, but not even senior devotees, any devotee can, you know, instruct us. Any person even. That's another realization I had. I can keep going on. Anyway, but yeah, another realization I had is that, you know, when Prabhupada was really sick, you know, he heard this instruction from a drunken doctor, you know, and devotees were like, who is this guy, you know, get him out of here. But Prabhupada started walking out after that, you know, his famous morning walks are after that drunken doctor. You know, told him that some, you know, you're not walking around. You're basically praying too much. You have to walk. So I've heard like that from people as well. I would be praying. I would be chanting japa on Janmashtami like 64 rounds or something. And then suddenly some person would come in, you know, complete like, you know, out of this, you know, world basically person, you know. And he would come in and say something, you know, and be like, wow, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You know, it's just like, you know, here it is. You know, the answer comes from some people. You know, some people in the street. So we have to be just conscious, basically. Conscious, Prabhupada conscious, Krishna conscious. Hare Krishna, any other questions? Grantaraj, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, is it is key?
Yeah.